One of the things that really spoke to me today is God has put things in place to be able to help you and to help you to heal. So there's things that you could do and trust God. And we are not to ignore our diagnoses, but we are to work with God and believe in Him that those healing and those measures will help us.
Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just thank you as we get into session two of this teaching. We thank you for blessing the food. Thank you for nourishing our bodies. Father, as we begin this session, we just ask that you just take the seeds that have been planted in session one. You bring revelation knowledge to everybody here. Most importantly, teach them how to specifically apply these things to their unique situations. You know each of their hearts. I ask that you meet them at their unique place of need. We thank you, God, for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, session two. Okay, just a recap, and the reason I'm saying recap, because when this is edited and go on television, people will watch it in parts. Recap, in part one, we talked about unmasking the deception about diseases and your health, and if you have not listened to session one, go and do so. That way you can approach session two in context and get the best from it. So I left off session one talking about five ingredients that we need in our lives to receive divine healing and live daily in divine health. Just a recap, I talk about having a submissive spirit. And number two, inviting the Holy Spirit to help you with the journey, because the Holy Spirit is a change agent. And number three, I talked about believing in God's word, because it's the word of God that purifies and sanctifies. And then trusting the process, because the perfect seed is the word of God. We have to give it time, because God is faithful. He's doing a job in our hearts. And then the harvest will come, because God is faithful. So in session two today, we're going to talk about how do we put these things in practice, because God's will is for us to receive healing and then live in divine health. So our anchor scripture, which I talked about in session one, I'm going to read that again. And again, write this down, 3 John 2. I read this out of the Amplified. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. So I am going to conclude that all of you who are here and those of you who are listening on television or YouTube, you've listened to session one and your soul is already prospering, because your soul has to be open to receive this truth. Otherwise, you won't be able to live it out, because a submissive spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to enable you to live out this truth. So, now, the overall principle of session two, or the overall principle in living in divine health, is preparing your soul, positioning yourself for change. So I want to go over four foundational truths about living in divine health. Write this down. Number one, foundational truths about living in divine health. Godly, if you want godly results, God requires you to do things His way. Number two, God, repeat number one. Okay, slow down, sorry. Okay, I'm going to repeat number one. If you want godly results of excelling and living in divine health, God requires you to do things His way. And He is going to help you. That's a promise. Number two, God is no respecter of persons. If you do what I'm about to discuss in this session, God says you will receive results. Mm-hmm. Number three, receiving and living in divine health requires believing and acting. Many people believe the acting part is the issue here. You got to act if you believe, you see. And as I said in session one, the action is not you depending on your ability. You can't. It's trusting the Holy Spirit who will do it for you as you submit to Him. And number four, most important. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God says, I've set before you life and death. He said, choose life. And then Jesus came and told us that He came to give us life abundantly, exceedingly, until it overflows. So you have to know that when you are trusting God to live in divine health, that you are in God's will. And God honors that. You cannot deviate from this absolute truth. Remember in session one, I talked about the fact that this is a confidence that we have, that when we pray in accordance to His will, He hears us. So what is God's will for our health? That we should prosper, right? So when you are doing these things, you are in God's will and God is honoring you. So never give up. And what does God expect from us? To live in divine health and to receive healing. It's so simple. It's so simple. Please, God doesn't need you to do A, B, C, D. Jesus did it all on the cross. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. In session one, I talk about how the issue is in your soul. All God wants from us is for us to allow His Holy Spirit. Hear what I said. I didn't say you do it. I said God wants you to allow His Holy Spirit to remove all the barriers from your soul. Yeah. Did you get this?
Yes.
God is willing to do it through the Spirit. He doesn't expect you to do it. He expects you to trust Him.
Yes.
Trust Him. So God just wants us to remove all the hindrances. Okay. So the goal here is, I will discuss 10 keys to living in divine health is to prepare the soul. Let me repeat this. Let me go slowly here. What's the ultimate goal? Is to prepare the soul to effortlessly overcome diseases and symptoms so that healing can manifest quickly and you will be well positioned to prevent diseases from reigning in your body. Should I repeat that? The goal, the ultimate goal of God and the ultimate goal of these keys that came right from the Bible I'm going to discuss is so that it prepares the soul. We talked about the soul, your mind, will, emotion, thinking process to effortlessly, meaning trusting the Holy Spirit, overcome diseases. That way, healing can manifest quickly. Healing, disease doesn't wear you down, take you out. Healing can manifest quickly. And you will be well positioned to prevent diseases from reigning in your body. Do you believe that this is possible? This work, I'm a living testimony. These keys will work. I know for those of you who are here and those of you who will listen to me on television or radio, not radio, how you call that thing? YouTube? Well, maybe radio, I don't know. These keys will work for all three different levels of the health spectrum. I sound like a doctor. Let me explain. We have three levels in the health spectrum: primary prevention, secondary prevention, tertiary prevention. Primary prevention is for somebody who is not sick, who has no disease, and you apply these keys and you prevent disease from running in your body in the first place. These keys will work for you. Secondary prevention is somebody who already has a disease manifesting in their body, and you want to overcome that and get to a level where that disease doesn't reign or you don't allow other diseases to attack you. This will work for you. Secondary prevention also involves screenings like early detection of diseases, mammogram, colonoscopy. This will work for you. God is all for that. In fact, if you are wise, you will go for screening. So you know what the enemy is trying to do in your body. And medical science has shown us that just the screenings alone can really, especially when it comes to cancer, detect a lot of cancers at a very early stage so that they can just take them out And then that way you can know that cancer was trying to attack your body so you can fight and prevent for that cancer from coming to your body. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
Because there's a medical notion that once you've been attacked with cancer the first time, you are at risk for other types of cancers. So if you don't go for screenings, how do you know that your body is trying to keep some cancer? So if you know that, you fight that thing through surgery, gone, you can know now that you're not gonna have that ugly cancer come around you, right? But if you ignore it, you don't know, you got up one day and you're so sick, the cancer has already spread. God, nothing is impossible, but it's much effort.
Yes.
It's more difficult. Are you following me? Because number one, you'll be too sick to fight. So prevention is better. Tertiary are people who are truly handicapped. And these keys will still work for them because God, you see, a disease is your perception. Even if you're bedridden, even if you're having difficulty walking, if you receive these keys, you can still live a fulfilling life. There are many people who are sick emotionally. You can't see it. But there are people who are sick physically, they're in a wheelchair. Many people think that you're sicker. No. There are people who are emotionally sicker, we just don't see it. So the point here, you cannot give up regardless of which level you are. Nothing is impossible with God. Praise the Lord. I am Dr. Ruth. Today we are offering my testimonial book, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus, a true story of God's unconditional love and grace. This book shares my testimony, how I was diagnosed with metastasis colon cancer over 14 years ago, moving to 15 years, and how through the grace of God, I received divine healing, and I am walking in divine health today. So this book will bless you. If you know somebody who is struggling with a disease, get this book. Even if you're not struggling with a disease right now, get this book to be prepared. It's all scriptural. It's all from God's word. So get this book to help you to get a deeper revelation, how to receive healing, how to walk in divine healing. And it comes to us as a donation when you purchase this from our website. We are going to have the link in the description box for you to get a copy today. But if you live overseas, please get it from Amazon. And friend, hundreds of people have been transformed by the teaching of healing in this book, and I know that you will be blessed by this book. So get a copy today. Then we are also offering my book on faith to receive God's promises. How the Lord taught me about growing in faith and focusing on Him and how to live by faith. So this is another book we are offering today, Faith to Receive God's Promises. You can also get this from our website, or if you live overseas, you can get it from Amazon. These two books, Healed by the Stripes of Jesus and Faith to Receive God's Promises, will really help you to grow in your faith walk with the Lord and to receive His promises. So friend, we thank you in advance for visiting our website to get these products that will help us to advance God's work. Thank you. Let's go over the 10 keys. These are keys to living in divine health, and these are biblical principles. We've already gone over the fact that these are unchangeable, these are constant, these work. Number one, key number one, decide, you may laugh at this, but it's as simple as this. Decide to choose God's way. You must make a decision. Everything begins with a decision. If you do not decide, that's a stubborn spirit. And the principle is in Matthew 6:33. Jesus teaches us to prioritize our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. Choose God's word as the number one medicine. Even when you go see the doctor, you have to know that you know that you know that God's word is Him. He is His word. It's an infallible truth. It works, and it is medicine. Let me give you one scripture to write this down. If you are writing down scriptures, Proverbs 4:20-22, and I will explain this because some people don't understand what this is saying. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, Pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. Ooh, did we get that? Submissive spirit. And be willing to learn. Open your ears to my sayings. Let me pause. You know, what is this saying? It's not saying your physical ears, it's your heart. Open your ears to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. What's a heart? The deepest part of your soul. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. Let me help you guys here. You guys know that God is His word. His word is God. This is supernatural anointing and power in the word of God, especially when you believe it. When you take the word of God as your medicine, you meditate on it, you believe in it, you speak it over your body, a few things are happening that you don't need to know, but you just have to trust God. You have to just know that supernaturally the power of God is being released from His word and is bringing life nourishment to your flesh. This is a promise. So when you go see the doctor, you have to already prepare yourself. I used to do this when I was dealing with cancer the first 5 years. Okay, I'm going to go see the doctor. And I had prayed and all the doctors were on my side and I had favor with them. But I had decided that God's word was my medicine. I had made up my mind that no matter what the doctors tell me, God's word is a higher truth. Remember, I talked about two types of truth? So I went into the doctor's environment with that attitude, that God's word is my priority. And I went into the doctor's office asking God to give me favor with the doctors, with the oncologists and the nurses. I asked God to just make them like me, to treat me differently. And I asked God to invite them into my team. You cannot have a nasty attitude towards the doctors, like I see so many Christians have. Well, I'm not going to believe that. They're rude to the doctors. But God, that's no humility. And some of you wonder why you don't get good reports. You have a stubborn spirit towards the doctors because you despise the doctor's report. God says respect seniors. You got to respect them for the knowledge. You got to respect them for how they're trying to help you. You have to ask God to open their heart so they can come be part of your team. Are you following me?
Yep.
I mean, I used to pray the doctors really loved me. I had so many nurses that just loved me. And that helped me to have peace and joy. So you have to have all of this going into a doctor's office. That God's word is number one. So the question I have for you is that what value do you place in God's word? The same value that you place in God's word is what you're going to get out. I discussed this scripture in John 5:44. Jesus was talking about valuing God's word and the effect it has on your believing. Jesus said, "How can you believe since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God?" When you value God's word will value you. And how do you start to do this? The moment you attack with symptoms in your body, the moment you feel a headache, that's when you know what you value. Are you going to run straight to the medicine cabinet, or are you going to call upon the word of God and say, "The word of God is my medicine. I release life into my body, and I stand and I believe that this headache is leaving my body because my body is receiving God's word." So do you run to the medicine cabinet? Then you don't value God's word. You see, it may take longer the first time you do that. It may take about 4 or 5 hours for that headache to go. But if you persist, I guarantee you. You know what you'll be doing? You'll be training your soul to be dependent on God's word as your medicine. And then eventually you're going to realize that within 5 minutes, that same thing that was lingering for hours is no longer lingering. I have gone to the point where when I get up in the morning and I feel tired or sick and weary, you know what? I just release life into my body, and within like 30 minutes, I'm strong. This morning, I felt horrible getting up because I went to bed late. I felt so sick, so tired. I just got up. The first thing I did, and let me recommend this to all of you. Well, I'm speaking ahead of myself, but I'm just excited. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I do, I sit on the edge of the bed. I started practicing this fighting cancer. It has been a part of me. I say, "Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that I have breath. Thank you that today is a great day. Thank you that you are for me, not against me. Thank you that your word is working in my body. Thank you that I have power and authority to have your word operate in my body. Thank you that I am owned by you. So today, I'm going to have a great day.
Yes.
I step up. I don't know, but my day is great. Amen. I don't question it. I don't sit there and say, well, is this symptoms going to go? I just live my day by faith. I engage in my normal day. And usually within 10, 15 minutes, I am so strong. I say, Holy Spirit, thank you. Mm-hmm. The word of God works. You have to try it. First thing in the morning, I've taught this to my patients. Before you hit your feet on the floor, give God praise. Call upon Jesus. Call upon the Holy Spirit. Invite him and you will be amazed. How things are going to start changing. That's showing that you value God's word. You value it. Okay. Now.
We are only able to produce these programs because of regular financial support from viewers like yourself. So would you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner with us? As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and monthly giving will enable us to produce more programs like this one and make it possible for us to get into more television stations, thereby reaching more people with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Becoming a partner is really easy. Simply visit our website at drruthtanyi.org and sign up there. Or if you prefer, you can email, write, or call us. Also, consider helping us with a one-time donation as you are led by the Lord. We would greatly appreciate that. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means all of your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your prayers, consideration, and donations, and we believe that God will bless you back abundantly. And remember to visit our website and obtain your copy of the Spiritual Warfare audio CD teaching and the book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ.
Are you willing to put in the effort it takes? In session one, I talked about renewing your mind. Let me read this scripture for those of you who are writing. Romans 12:2. Oh, I'm seeing number one. Oh, no, we're still in number one. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Like, why am I saying this? You see, in order for you to transform your soul, to have God's word purify your soul, to give the Holy Spirit the ability to purify your soul, come on, let me say something real quick. God is waiting for some of you to give him permission to work in your soul. God will not do it without your permission. God is a gentleman. He has given us a free will. We have to invite him in. But he's always around, just waiting. Oh, I can give you so many examples of this, even with the disciples. Oh, gosh, but let me just move forward. When they were struggling, with, you know, after the resurrection, and they were struggling and trying to go back to fishing, and Jesus was just walking by. Oh, man. Jesus was just walking by like a gentleman, and they were looking at that. You know what that was? Jesus was making himself available, waiting for them to give him permission to come in. And then Peter said, that's the Lord. No, it was John, that's the Lord. Peter said, that's the Lord. And they ran to him. What's the message here? Listen carefully. Psalm 46, 1, 2. God is an ever-present God, but God will hang around waiting for you to invite him in. Yeah. Never say, God, where are you? Say, God, I need your presence to manifest right now. So to renew your mind means that you take the word of God, you give the Holy Spirit permission to Take the word of God. You have to meditate on it. I said this in session one. Meditate means you ponder on it. You ponder on it. This is where the unbelievers beat us Christians hands down. Athletes do this all the time. They take, you. While you meditate, let me go back to Christian meditation. You take the promises of God, whatever you want from God. If it's by his stripes I am healed, you take that promise, you think about it, you ponder on it. You don't stop there. You see yourself as God sees you healed. You see every sickness and disease that is attacking you placed on the perfect body of Jesus on the cross. The Bible says faith is calling things that be not as though they are. When I used to meditate, I used to see cancer leaving my body. I used to imagine cancer leaving my body. I used to call things that be not. I used to imagine perfect immune system. I used to give God thanks before I saw it. I said, thank you, God, today. My immune system is working perfectly. That is meditation. You're calling things that be not as though they are. It works. You're giving Holy Spirit the permission to change your internal milieu, to change your soul, to plant those seeds. Lastly, before I go to key number two, Joshua, I have to always mention this. Joshua was an Old Testament man. Joshua, God had called him to take, Moses had died, God called Joshua to lead the second generation Israelites into the promised land. Back then, they were just the book, five books of Moses, Genesis through Deuteronomy. And Joshua didn't even have a complete revelation of who God is like we do today, because we have the Holy Spirit and we have the Old and New Testament. But what did God tell Joshua? God said in Joshua 1:8, I'm paraphrasing now, do not let this book of the law depart from you. Meditate on it day in, day night, then you will succeed. What is God saying? God was telling Joshua to take those first five books of the Bible, think about all the miracles that Joshua had seen him, God, do through Moses. Think about them, see himself succeeding. That's all Joshua needed. Because God knew if Joshua could do that, it would change the way Joshua viewed himself. It would change the way Joshua viewed the assignment, and Joshua would be emboldened through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all God said Joshua should do. God said, I will be with you. And Joshua did it, didn't he? Yes. He did it. If Joshua could do that, remember I said God is impartial? God is no respecter of person? That's what I did. That's why I'm here today. Remember I said in session one, and I discussed that in my testimonial book, I would meditate on the word of God for 8 to 10 hours. And you don't have to do 8 to 10 hours, but I was handicapped. I couldn't work. I was dying. Medicine could not help me. I needed a miracle. My thinking was messed up. I needed to receive. So I couldn't walk, so guess what? I had a lot of time in my hands. I would study the healing ministry of Jesus. I would study how other people received the healing, the woman with the issue of blood. I would meditate on the centurion. He said he sent forth his word and healed them. I would just imagine myself receiving the healing. I would imagine Jesus laying hands on me. I would just imagine the cancer leaving my body. I would draw a picture on the wall of a perfect immune system. I would go and say, this is my immune system. I receive it because God here for me. I was meditating. And 2 months later, I got the revelation that I was healed. And I'm healed today. Whatever you have to do, you have to change your thinking. There's only one way that God says we can allow the Holy Spirit to purify our soul, and it's through meditation. There's no other system. God has one system in place, that's it. So if you don't like it, you won't receive, you're out. It requires time. That's why I'm asking, are you willing to put in the work? Because at the beginning, it seemed challenging. You may think, I just keep speaking the word of God. I'm studying the scripture. Nothing is happening. That's a lie from Satan. A lot is happening that you're not seeing. Amen. God's word is perfect seed.
Amen.
You got to trust the process. That's the primary way. Key number two.